The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this evening I thought I'd talk about working with challenges, working with difficulty. And, you know, I think everybody has this in their lives. It's some large or small challenges with specific events, specific individuals, certain situations perhaps, or certain patterns even. I mean, they can be individual events that are either small or dramatic. They can be patterns or habits that you carry with you through your life. Familiar patterns or habits that visit us over and over again. Often these come as emotions, challenging emotions, or what we might call afflictive emotions. And, you know, sometimes, actually a lot of times people ask me, how do I work with these things? How do I work with fear? How do I work with anxiety? How do I work with depression? How can I work with anger? I'm always frustrated or impatient. How do I work with these things? And so I thought I'd offer some general guidelines for working with difficulty in general. You know, there are sometimes some specific things that can be said about specific kinds of emotional challenges. But there's some basic guidelines overall that I find really helpful, and I found really helpful in my own practice. And so I thought I'd take some time tonight to explore some of that with you, working with challenge in your life, both on the cushion and off the cushion. So probably the single most important piece or single most important tool in our toolkit for working with challenging mind states is simply recognizing them. Recognizing that it's happening, and it's happening now in the present moment. So just the simplicity of, for example, if frustration is coming up and you're caught in frustration, there is a huge difference between being caught in frustration and believing frustration and acting out of frustration and in knowing frustration is happening right now. Huge difference between those two. And if you can incline the mind to begin to recognize that something is actually happening in the present moment, as opposed to being caught in that, believing it, and acting out of it, there's can often be a little bit of space for some presence of mind around that state. That shift from being caught in a mind state to being aware that something is happening in the moment basically gives an opportunity for mindfulness and some wisdom to infiltrate the mind around this difficult state of mind. Part of the shift there, part of the power of that shift, is that often when we are caught in a mind state, like frustration, when we're caught in a difficult state of mind like that, often what's going on is that we are telling ourselves the story of frustration. We are reconvincing ourselves over and over again about why we're frustrated, and why it is true that we are frustrated. So there's the mental cycling that happens around these difficult mind states, and the simple recognition, oh, there's something happening in the present moment, can begin to shift us away from that thought stream. So it allows a little bit of space in the mind. And one of the main ways that challenging emotions function, operate in our minds, is through this interaction with thought. So often, actually, often emotions will arise because of a thought. We see something, we hear something, we start thinking about it. We think in some ways that, I mean, how many times has it seemed like so-and-so made me angry? Or, you know, this person is doing something that frustrates me. What's actually going on there is that there's something objectively happening in the world. A person is saying something or doing something. And what's going on is that we're thinking about it. And based on our habits, our conditioning, our proclivities of patterns and habits in our mind, we react to it internally. So we think about it and we react to it internally. Fortunately, it is not possible, actually, for somebody else to create our emotions. It's really good news. I mean, we think somebody else, you're doing that, you're making me angry. But it's actually not possible for somebody else to make you angry. Somebody else can do something that lands in you, and then there is a thought process, a reactive process that begins. And fortunately, it is that somebody else can't make us angry and that this is an internal process, because our minds can intervene in these inner processes and begin to open a space, begin to allow us to see what it is that we're actually getting caught by, what it is that we're actually reacting to. So that first step of recognizing, oh, this is happening in the present moment, this is something that's arising now, begins to help us to have a little bit of a gap that begins to allow us to look at what's going on inside of us, so that we're no longer caught so much by our thoughts, so no longer believing or swirling in that terrain of our thoughts. One neurobiologist talked about the emotional states, you know, from her training as a neurobiologist, knowing that how emotions work in the brain and in the body, that there's a kind of a release of hormones in some place in the brain, you know, releases these hormones. And those hormones flood through the body and create not only the state of mind, but also state of body. And that's another way to help explore challenging emotions. So when you kind of stop and check in, oh, this anger's happening in the present moment, frustration's happening in the present moment. So not only recognizing it, but then also recognizing there's a bodily impact. The awareness in the body of how these emotions land in the body is also another huge help to taking us out of the thought cycle around emotions. So more about this flood of chemicals through the body and the mind. This neurobiologist said that if there is just one release of those chemicals through the body, that activation, we could call it activation of the emotion, will last a minute and a half. It'll last 90 seconds. And yet typically what happens is that through our thoughts, it's like something happens in the world, we react, we have a thought and we react to it, and that flood of emotions goes, that flood of chemicals goes through our body. And if we start thinking about it, we start reacting in our minds, they shouldn't have done that. Every time a thought like that comes in, it's like that button in the brain gets pushed again and another release of chemicals happens. I'm going to get back at another flood of them. How can I figure out what does another flood of chemicals? So every time there is the the thoughts that are kind of hooked up with that emotion, it makes it take longer for that emotion to kind of wash through. And so if you can find a way to ground the attention with mindfulness in the body or just in knowing frustration's happening right now, impatience is happening right now, confusion's happening right now, anger's happening, whatever the emotion is, it's happening right now. And if you can hang out with it for 90 seconds, it will start to release. So this is good news too. You know, it actually doesn't take that long, but you know, probably what's going to happen is you will have a few of those thoughts, but you just have to remember, okay, another 90 seconds. It's just another 90 seconds. So the what we know about the brain can help us to have the maybe some of the confidence of maybe I can hang out with this for a minute and a half. Maybe I can not feed this, not fuel it for a minute and a half and see what happens. So once we have recognized something's happening in our, something difficult is happening, sometimes the button pushing or the re-upping on the emotion happens because there's a kind of another relationship going on. We're frustrated and we're impatient about that frustration. Or we're afraid or we're fearful and we're afraid of that fear. Or we're angry and we're afraid of something. We're feeling self-righteous, and we really believe that self-righteousness. So another really helpful tool, once you have been able to recognize, okay, this experience is happening in the present moment. Okay, anger is happening in the present moment. Often if you find, you know, you can be with it in that way, but, you know, it doesn't seem to be changing. It doesn't seem to be diminishing in the way that I describe around, you know, the chemical kind of releasing from the system. It usually means there's some other relationship going on. So a tool that one of my teachers suggests is what he calls checking the attitude, checking the relationship to what's happening in the present moment. So, okay, there's anger happening. And what's my relationship to that anger? There's confusion happening. Well, what's my relationship to that confusion? There's impatience happening. And what's my relationship to that impatience? There's so many different kinds of relationships that we can have. And the simplest level, sometimes our relationship to strong emotions like that is, I don't like it. Or it might be around anger, for instance. It could be, I don't like it. Or it could be, I'm right. You know, that there's a feeling of justification, of self-justification. So there's anger. And part of the reason the mind doesn't want to let go of it is because the mind is convinced, I'm right about this. So this tool, this is another tool of checking the relationship, kind of exposing other emotions that might be happening at the same time that this difficult emotion is happening, or beliefs that we have. So you could ask the question, what's my relationship to this? Or you could also ask the question, what is being believed? What do I believe right now? That can be a helpful tool too. What do I believe right now? So the attitude, you know, there can be a really simple checking here that I found really helpful, particularly around some strong patterns or familiar patterns. you know, the ones that recur over and over and over and over again. I had a period of practice on a retreat where depression kept coming up. It kept coming up a lot over a period of a few weeks. It wasn't a very strong depression, but it was there. And I just started recognizing that it was there. You know, okay, depression is happening right now. Depression is happening. So that it, instead of being caught in the thoughts or the ideas about why I was depressed, huge difference. Just play with it in your own experience. A huge difference between being caught in the thoughts around something. Oh, I'm so depressed because nobody loves me, and, you know, I've never had any friends. I always was alone on the playground, and I've never had friends. It's always been hard for me to make friends, and I guess it's always going to be hard for me to make. That kind of thing is perpetuating that state of mind. So finding a way to pull out of that is, okay, depression is happening right now. Depression, this is what's happening right now, as opposed to believing it somehow as truth. It's simply a phenomenon that is arising in the moment. That's a very powerful recognition also, that a difficult state of mind is simply something that's happening now in the present moment, as opposed to being some kind of ground of being that we always are living with. You know, that certain states of mind we experience so frequently, they sometimes seem like they're always there. You know, that depression at that time was there a lot. And yet what I started recognizing was, okay, depression is happening right now. And I also started recognizing when I was caught by that depression, when I kind of felt like I believed it. So that's an attitude. That's a relationship to the depression. It's like caught by it. There's depression and I'm caught by it. There's a sense of believing the depression. So depression and caught is happening. Just simply recognizing even that, kind of, again, it acknowledges caught is happening in this moment. It's a powerful thing to recognize. Okay, caught is happening right now. And what I started seeing, actually, when I started acknowledging that, was that I noticed the difference between when the mind could notice, oh, depression is happening right now, and depressed and caught by it. So I started seeing the difference. And I saw, actually, there was a lot of time that I could just be with that state of depression and not be caught by it. And so that being caught by the depression or believing it as some kind of inherent reality in my mind was proven to not be true. Because there were plenty of times when I was just knowing, oh, this is just depression happening right now. And then there were times where there's the, oh, depression, and feeling caught by it. But noticing that difference was very powerful. So in terms of recognizing an attitude, a simple attitude to check into is, are you caught by the emotion? Or is it simply something that's happening? Is it just anger? Is it just depression? Is it just confusion? Is it just impatience? Kind of that sense of the mind being able to recognize, oh, this is just something happening right now. So is it just something happening right now, or is it believed as being a weighty kind of thing? So that as a kind of an exploration of attitude, kind of a simple tool. Are you caught or not caught by that state of mind? And then another thing, particularly with these really familiar patterns of mind that's helpful, is to notice when it's not there. To recognize that these difficult states of mind are not always present. This tool actually was one of the most powerful ones for me in terms of kind of wearing away at that belief in the solidity and the inevitability of certain states of mind. I practiced that around that depression, noticing, oh, depression isn't there right now. And actually, in that recognition, it's like, yeah, it really isn't there right now. And actually, it was very interesting to play with that place, because I started then noticing, yeah, I wasn't depressed. There wasn't that feeling of depression. And then I started noticing some of the conditions that preceded when depression arose. And one of the things I noticed was that when the mind got really calm, that's when the depression would creep in. That was interesting. I also noticed that the depression would creep in when I saw, you know, people walking together, you know, talking and walking together, that there was a... And so I began to get a sense of some of the conditions that led to the creation of that state of mind in the present moment. This is a really powerful learning to see. First of all, to recognize our difficult states of mind are not always present. For powerful ones, we sometimes think that they are. But just keep looking. Keep looking. There will be times that you notice that certain states, the familiar states of mind, are not always there. And then beginning to see, what are the causes for that state to come up in the present moment? What happens there? This one was powerful for me, because I began to really get it, that even though my mind had strong tendencies towards anger, towards self-hatred, towards depression at times, even though the mind had strong tendencies towards that, that they weren't always there. And actually, when they were coming up, they were being created by things happening right now. A memory arose in the mind, and the mind reacted to that memory. I saw something, and the mind reacted to what it saw. So that the mind began to understand that, I mean, it's like seeing something. For instance, you know, just as an example, and this was, you know, this was one of the things that maybe was partly going on around that depression. I would be walking and seeing people talking together. And, you know, my mind would remember being alone on the playground and seeing people gathered in groups and feeling excluded. So that memory kind of brought in the feeling of being excluded, and the mind responded to that in the present moment. Just as an example of how that might work. And this kind of recognition is, it's amazingly powerful to begin to see that when we are suffering, when there is something going on in our minds that is a struggle, that it is painful for us in the present moment, it's not happening because it's the same old pain that's been there all along. I mean, that's kind of that was my interpretation, that I've had this pain of loneliness and depression and sadness and feeling excluded for my whole life, since I was at least 5 years old. And, you know, when it comes up, it's the same old feeling. It's the same feeling. But what I started to see through this kind of exploration of recognizing when it's present, when it's absent, is that when it comes up, it's being created now. Suffering in the present moment is happening now. There are conditions arising in the present moment that are leading to the reaction to be regenerated now. Now, there's a lot of history that tends to lead us down those pathways. A lot of, you know, we may have the sense of ruts in our mind, you know, the sense of deep grooves, of things that we've practiced or been down a lot. And it's kind of like there's so many ways into those ruts. And they're, you know, they can be pretty strong patterns. And so when we've worn those ruts a lot, it can be easy to fall into them. And yet the falling into those ruts is happening right now. That falling into that rut is happening right now. There's that the kind of history of habit in that direction. But it's not necessary, actually, when there is mindfulness and when there is awareness. The possibility exists to relate to that experience in a new way. So neurobiology actually bears this out too. We think about those ruts. You know, those ruts are conditioned based on lots of times of having practiced something. You know, my mind practicing self-hatred over and over again. Every time the mind practiced self-hatred in my life, it like added neuronal connections to that pattern. So that pattern got stronger. And so more and more, it's kind of like what happens is the brain things. I mean, the brain is just this kind of organic process. It's like, oh, this happens a lot, we better shore this one up. Okay, this happens a lot, we better shore that one up. Oh, this isn't happening so much, we don't need those neurons to connect anymore, so those can let go. It's just a very organic process in the brain, the way the connections rewire, wire and rewire. And so the maxim or whatever, neurons that fire together wire together. So there's, you know, habits, patterns, memories, you know, memories of being on the playground and feelings of exclusion. The memory comes up, the feelings of exclusion tend to come up. So that's the neurons that fire together, wire together. See something similar? Those neurons fire again. But when that pattern, I mean, so there is kind of, you know, the pattern is there in the brain. But when the pattern is not firing, when the neurons aren't going down that route, the pattern, in a sense, you know, the pattern has the possibility to be fired. But in that moment, that state, that connection, those connections are not happening. And the amazing thing from neurobiology around this is that if that pattern is not fired enough times, if there's not engagement with that pattern enough times, the neurons will let go of that pattern. It's like just non-engagement with a very strong pattern allows it to fall apart. That's a kind of amazing tool for us to be aware of. That if we can recognize, yep, headed in the direction, like just the shift, you know, actually just the shift from anger is happening and I believe it to anger's happening in the present moment seems to do something different around how the brain is functioning around those patterns. It's in fact they talk about the recognition, that recognition aspect seems to use different parts of the brain. It uses different parts of the brain, and it's a different part of the brain that's caught in that loop of the emotion itself. So bringing that recognition in helps to balance the mind from being reinforcing that pattern, from reinforcing that loop. So just to kind of review some of what I've said. So first of all, the most important thing is recognition, recognizing that the pattern is happening right now. Checking your relationship to it. What is the attitude? Are there other emotions, other beliefs happening right now? And if you can notice some of those, just simply recognizing, okay, yes, there's anger and I don't like it. That has the same effect. I mean, when we aren't aware of our attitudes about our emotions, so there's anger happening and we don't like it, or there's anger happening and there's a believing I'm right around it. When we're not aware of that secondary part, that attitude or that belief, the pattern, it's like we're looking at the pattern through that belief or that idea. And the simple recognition of, oh, there's anger and I don't like it, or there's anger and believing I'm right is happening. Again, it creates a little bit of space around that pattern. So we can't always simply recognize, oh yes, there's anger and it's just anger. Because sometimes the patterns, particularly strong ones, have a lot of momentum behind them. They have a lot of power to them. And sometimes even just trying to be aware, okay, yep, there's anger happening right now. Okay, there's anger happening right now, or there's frustration happening. Especially when we've gotten caught in those patterns a lot, sometimes trying to be aware of it takes us down the rabbit hole of that emotion. It's almost like trying to be aware of it makes it worse. If you notice, or if you find that trying to observe, be witness, open to a difficult emotion seems to be making it worse, then there's some other tools to work with. You know, really helpful to learn strategies for yourself that help you to balance when there's something so strong that it feels like mindfulness doesn't have any traction at all. Sometimes it feels like, you know, the power of the challenging state is like this tsunami wave, and our mindfulness is like, you know, this little ripple in the water. It's just like it's swamped. And so if that's happening, then knowing for yourself, what are some strategies? You know, sometimes I talk about changing the channel. Just pick something else. Don't try to be mindful of that state at that point. Pick something else. Open your eyes and go for a walk. Be out in nature. Find ways to help yourself calm down. Find ways to help yourself change the channel. You might listen to music, look at pictures in a book or something. I find it helpful, though, not to do something like watch television. If you watch television and you get into a kind of a mindless mode around watching television, you know, there's so much stimulation, so much kind of coming in from the television that it's not uncommon for what's coming into the television to remind you, from the television, to remind you of the thing that you're angry or frustrated about, and then you'll go off again. So it's helpful to find a way to stay mindful, but just see if you can find something else to pay attention to. So for myself, for some reason, when I was walking down the road, you know, doing grocery shopping or whatever, this seemed to be the time that my pattern of anger would emerge. And one of the things I began to notice after a while was, whenever I tried to, okay, yep, oh, there's anger, oh, anger, I hate that person, they did me wrong, and I'm going to find a way to, oh, okay, I'm caught. So really quickly, I'd find I got caught again. And over, I noticed that I got caught really fast when I tried to be mindful while I was engaged in my daily life with things going on in my daily life. And so it seemed to often happen when I was walking, so what I decided to do was kind of just say very gently to that anger, yes, I see you. I see you, and I see you want some attention, but, you know, not now. And very gently put it aside, not with aversion, not with repression. It's kind of like I said, you do your thing. You know, I'm not going to try to stop you, but I'm also not going to pay any attention to you. I'm going to pay attention to my feet. And I put my attention right in the soles of my feet as I was walking. Just something really neutral. I picked something really neutral. I found for myself that when I had a strong reactive emotion like that, sometimes teachers suggested, oh, you should try metta. Try loving kindness. Try wishing the person that you're feeling angry with well. That did not work very well for me. You know, it's like, my mind, as soon as I start to do, it's like, you know, you're not paying attention. We are really angry at that person. Oh, may they be happy. You're not paying attention. So it's like, I learned, you know, to not try to go that route. Just something neutral. Picking something neutral was much more, it was like easier for the mind to kind of let go of that other thing and let it be. It didn't, that other part, the angry part of the mind didn't feel like it was being squashed. It didn't feel like it was being hidden under some like veil of metta, you know. It's like, okay, you know, it's like it could relax on the side and I could just pay attention to my feet. And so play with it for yourself. Some people find bringing something beautiful, a beautiful quality into the mind or some you know, sense of compassion for yourself or metta to be very, very helpful. If that's not helpful for you, try something neutral. Try something more simple. Another tool for when we're caught in overwhelm, this is if it's not quite as overwhelming as that, but just, you know, sometimes when something is strong, it's like all of our attention is riveted on that thing. All of our attention goes right to that state. Like, yes, I'm angry, and I know I'm angry, and the whole world is confirming that I'm angry, and then you look around, and everything is seen through that lens of anger. If you can, kind of remind yourself that it's kind of like the mind gets one-tracked onto that state of mind. And there's lots of things happening in the present moment besides that. So sometimes a conscious broadening of the container, reminding yourself, yes, there's anger happening right now, and there's also seeing happening right now, and there's also body sensation happening right now, and there's sound happening right, and there's anger happening right now, and but not letting yourself stay there. Keep reminding yourself to keep the container of awareness bigger. It's always amazing. I feel like I've got so much more to say, but I want to just open for a few minutes and see if there's any questions or comments on what I've said so far. Maybe I'll continue this theme a little bit next week with more questions. But
my recent experience with the getting angry that I have a great deal of regret around right now. It all happened very quickly, and the words were out of my mouth, and it was not a good idea. And, you know, it's like
it's split second.
There is a moment of, there is a small, little tiny piece of time there, and if I can enlarge it somehow, possibly, but until I do, what?
Yes, great question. And this was actually one of the topics I thought of talking about, so this is great. In the midst of daily life, like, you know, sometimes when we're sitting, we can, like, okay, oh yes, anger, okay, let me feel it in the body and let go of the thoughts. You know, when we're talking to somebody, it's like, you know, it happens so fast, there's not even any time to stop. And besides that, you know, it's not like you're going to say, oh, yes, let me stop and feel this in my body. You know, we don't have the time for that. It's like it happens, it unfolds so fast. So one thing I can say is that if you have a pattern that happens a lot, like, you know, this was one particular instance, but perhaps anger is a theme for you. It may be. I know for myself it was. And I chose to make it a project for myself to start to recognize whenever I got angry, just to, in daily life, you know, I'm sitting at the computer, I'm angry, I'm not talking to somebody. So, you know, just kind of getting familiar with the flavor of anger as it comes up. And just in a really simple way, actually, I didn't like in that moment, it's like, okay, anger's happening. And, you know, it's time to go on to work. Time to keep working, you know. So just to kind of recognize, okay, here's the anger, and what can I do with it? Can I just set it aside? Can I go on with this other thing? Kind of like turning to something neutral. So it's not like in the moment of recognizing anger in daily life that you stop everything and, like, you know, do investigation or digging into what's going on, but just get familiar with that kind of quality arising. And what I found was through that practice, it took several months, but through that practice, the mind got more and more attuned to the experience of anger starting. It got more, it's like, it was almost like magic in a way. It's like just that dedication to, I want to be aware when anger arises in my mind, began to have the mindfulness of that anger happen earlier and earlier in the process of the cycle of anger. And so I could begin to see just the kind of little tendrils. So that's one practice, is to just start with getting familiar with it as a mind state in your daily life. And then you might be able to expand that gap just a little bit. Actually, it can get big, that little gap. And in the meantime, get really good at cleaning up the mess. Another part of that getting good at cleaning up the mess is to not hate yourself, flagellate yourself about what happened. It's kind of like, yep, that happened. It wasn't a good thing. It created some conditions that are painful to deal with, and I need to deal with those, but to not like go back and say, oh, I should have done it differently. I mean, like, we can't go back and redo the past, but what we can do is in this moment, you know, make amends if possible, and kind of recommit to, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying to see if I can connect with that state, get familiar with it. And another practice could be around, at the same time you're exploring the anger, is to explore a practice around speech. Just see if you can pause for a split second before you say something and know what you're going to say before you say it. Anytime you're talking, just get used to that kind of practice of a split second pause. Now, that can be challenging in certain environments where people don't even let you finish a sentence before they start talking. And so one tool there could be to give yourself time to recognize that you're going to talk, would be to restate what somebody said before you respond. What I heard you say is, and that gives you a moment to recognize, yes, I'm getting ready to say something, and what is it that I'm going to say? So those two tools, I think. Another thing that to explore, this is another helpful tool, and maybe I'll actually start next week with this because it would be great to do it as an exercise here. And that is, if you tend to be triggered by certain things, or things happen really fast, so fast that it's like almost impossible for mindfulness to make inroads in daily life, a useful tool is to use reflection at home. So sit in meditation, allow the mind to calm down a little bit, do some breathing, maybe 5 minutes of just settling the mind, and then bring into the mind the situation that triggered you so much. For like a second or two, allow that image or scenario to come into your mind, and then let go of that image and then feel into what's happened. Because thoughts are really, really powerful. If we even think of a situation, it's very likely to very quickly create the same response in our experience. And so you get a chance to work with those kinds of quick rising responses when there's nobody around. So that's another tool that can be really useful for helping to expand that little gap. Yeah. So that's probably time to stop. So I will continue this theme next week. I think there's a lot that we... Wait, it's next week? Yes, next week. There's a lot that we can say about this, particularly in working with this in daily life. So thank you for your attention.